Imagine a film school where her stories are celebrated as early as elementary school, where the faces on the screen look like hers. The instruction is led by women who show her what she can be. In a classroom where every inquiry begins with, what if? A place where innovation is required, not just encouraged. Where we place the Black woman in film at the center of the experience and then go from there. We produce projects that demand advanced theme skills. We speak in tech. We engineer to tell stories and visualize worlds of the past and the future, real and imagined. At Black Girl Film School, we transform worlds and trailblaze paths to improve academic performance and create more opportunities behind the camera by making amazing work. And we do it together. The filmmakers of tomorrow are ready to begin today.
Sugar the Play, a Cash team production, is looking for actors and singers to fill several slots for this upcoming live play. For more information, please call 216-394-8926. That's Sugar the Play, auditions at 216-394-8926.
Hey there. Well, welcome to Talk Back Live. Thank you for tuning in. We've got a great show for you today. We've got a very, very popular singer who has hit the scene and she has hit the ground running. The intro that you just saw there was the Black Girls Film School. They have a collection of media experts with one goal in mind, and that is to increase the number of Black women working in film, stage, and the media. If you're interested, have any questions, just go to blackgirlsfilmschool.com. Okay, well, we've got an exciting show for you today. I'm so excited to have Beth Griffith Manley, better known as Beth, that's right, right from the Motor City in Detroit. She's coming to us live, and we're so excited to have her. Beth, I tell you, you are such the word out now. I mean, everyone's talking about you. You're all over the place. You've released a lot of great music, some new music. We're going to talk about that, and you've got a song, and it's just such a hit. I've fallen in love with it, Got Next. And it talks about the funk. You got the funk from your dad. And so let's start there. Let's talk about your dad, because your father was so special and you are as well. The apple certainly doesn't fall too far from the tree. But let's talk about your dad, Johnny Griffith. A lot of my viewers may not know about your dad, but he was part of the original sound of Motown, and he was an integral part of the house band. He played the piano. Tell us, let's start with your dad, Jimmy Griffith. Tell us about your father.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show first. I am so grateful for the legacy that my father left with music as a whole, and then American music. He was one of the members of the Funk Brothers from Motown, and he played on numerous hits, classic songs. He played for almost everybody that was there. He played for Dinah Ross and the Supremes, The Temptations, The Four Tops, I'm getting a brain fart right here. Jackie Wilson,
right?
Marvin Gaye,
right? All of the greats.
All of the greats that were there. Martha Reeves and the Vandellas. I had a brain fart.
That's okay.
We're not up early in the morning, and this is early. he just did such. He just left such a wonderful legacy for me. And it's just been an honor and a privilege of mine to follow in his footsteps musically, because it's something natural that I'm doing. It's not forced. I wasn't coerced to do this. Although I was coerced to go solo, I wasn't coerced to just be in the music business. So my dad, I miss him terribly. And I'm just grateful that he left some big shoes for me to try to put my feet in and walk in. Yes, he
did. I mean, being a part of the Funk Brothers, I mean, without that band, they were the greatest house band that mm-hmm. we've ever known. They really created the sound of Motown. Mm-hmm. And certainly so, he left you a great, great legacy. And this new single, Got Next, is that kind of a tribute to your dad?
Everything that I do almost is a tribute to my father, you know, whether I verbalize it in the lyrics or not. But yes, this song specifically, because it has a funk sound, and I'm the daughter of a funk brother. And when I first heard the track, I was like, oh, this is such a funky track. And I'm really a lover of all types of music. I love R&B, I love hip hop, I love country, I love classical, I love jazz, I love everything. But with my first album that I did, it was very R&B based. And it was very urban adult contemporary. And that song, Got Next, was totally hip hop. It had such a different sound. And I wanted to do something different, to just throw a curveball, to show my diversity as an artist, that I like all kinds of music.
Right.
So that song, yes, paid homage to my dad with that line, I got the spunk from my daddy, but it also shows the love that I have for hip hop. I love rap. You know, Snoop is my favorite rapper. So all of that, it has that West Coast feel to it. So it was just really fun working on that. And that's a great track that's produced by Marcus Devine, who's my music director as well.
Awesome. And you also, you did that with McVeigh.
Swifty McVeigh, yes.
Tell us about that collaboration.
Yeah, Swifty's from D12, and people know D12 from coming from Eminem coming out of D12. And D12 actually is getting ready to go on tour with Snoop. They're doing like a whole European tour in the latter part of this year. So Swifty's is just a friend of mine. We've been knowing each other for a while. His wife is actually part of Team Beth. She works directly with me. And we thought it was just no better fit than to totally represent the Detroit sound and get two artists that were very different, but very much alike, to collaborate on something.
Right, right. Well, it's a great collaboration, and it's making a lot of noise on the music scene and on the video scene. It's called Got Next, and now, did you write that song? Because you're a singer as well, you're a songwriter as well as a singer.
Yes, I did. I co-wrote that with the producer, Marcus Devine. So he sent me the track. I started writing on it. He wrote on it himself, and then separately, and then we came together and made the lyrics work. So we co-wrote it together, and it was really fun.
Yeah, it looks like a very, very fun video that you guys did together. I love it. I absolutely love it. Now let's just go back just a little bit and share with the viewers out there a little bit about your history, because year 16, or you appeared on The Voice. And what an exciting time that was for you. You blew everyone away, and you did some great, great music. I mean, you really, really did. And one would think after viewing it, going back and viewing that episode, that you've been doing music and touring for years and years and years. You actually released, I think, some of your first music back in 2017. Mm-hmm. Is that accurate?
That is correct. I had always loved singing, and I just was too insecure, too afraid, too nervous to release music. And so I finally did it in 2017 after being a background singer for many years. And I said, you know what, let me do something different. Let me step out of the box for me. So I released that album. And then after I released the album, then I connected with The Voice and actually did the show. And after I did that, I was pretty certain that I wanted to be a solo artist after that. Because, you know, when you're a background singer, you're still able to tour, you're still able to perform, you're still able to be on the stage with the lights, but you don't have the same pressure that the lead singer has.
Right.
You know, so I was like, okay, I'm good being a background artist. But when I said, you know, I was mentored and kind of coerced and pushed to be a solo artist, Michael Powell, who founded the group Chapter 8, who actually originally put Anita Baker out, he pushed me to be a solo artist. He was like, no, you need to be solo. So I was like, okay. So that's what made me put the album out. And then it pushed me to The Voice. And then now I'm just out here flying.
So. You're out here and you're chasing your dream. What a dream. And you actually chasing your dream. You're doing it. You're actually doing it. Now on The Voice, the 16th episode there, you did some great, great songs. You did Nina Simone, I Put a Spell on You. Mm-hmm. And John Legend literally had his mouth wide open. I mean, he was in total amazement. You knocked everyone out. And it was, and I, that she's one of my favorites. And that's one of my favorite songs of all time. No, not everybody can do that song. I mean, how was that experience? How was that for you doing that song?
When I was told I needed to, or what I was going to do that song, I was like, what? You know, the first thing I do when I do a song, especially if it's a cover or of somebody else's, I go back and study the song. I study the artist. I study the story that they're telling. And I went back to the original version before Nina Simone. And I can't remember the man's name that did it, but there was an original version. The man came up out dressed, you know, very with the paint on his face and the skull.
Right.
So I went back and researched that. I got on YouTube and was like, what is the original version of I Put a Spell on You? And I looked at that because I wanted to know the history of that song and what was the story, what was the feeling that I was supposed to give people after they saw me perform the song. And I started with the original version, and then I listened to Nina Simone's version. I listened to several other artists that covered that song as well. And I just put my own spin on it. And I remember being coached by John Legend for this particular song. And he told me, he said, this song is about a person who is just crazy, crazy in love. And I need you to dig deep into that inner crazy girl that's in, you know, the one you don't want to come out. I need you to go in there and talk to her for a minute so you can get that out so you can tell this story. And he just really told me to let go and to not be afraid to try new things and to feel free with the song to express myself. And I tried my best to do exactly that. And he seemed to be very pleased. And I
was— Oh my God, the audience went crazy, crazy. We're going to take a quick break right now. Stay with us. And we're going to actually have you introduce the next video coming up, the new hit single, Got Next. Go ahead and introduce the audience to that video.
Okay, well, everybody, my name is Beth, and the next video that you're going to see is Got Next, featuring my brother, my friend, Mr. Swifty McVay from D12. You got next.
Check it out.
Chance to shine, and we'll be cutting y'all in front of that line. You either out or you riding. My homie right beside me with a hustling persona and a crown full of diamonds. Climbing these charts and you ain't stopping a profit. She's staying on fire like the back of a damn rocket. Total control, cold as the North Pole, busting these flows. It's our time to blow, so just know.
They may be on right now, but somehow, trust me, I got no. Baby.
Hey, welcome back to Talk Back Live. We've got a special show for you today. Thank you for tuning in. And by the way, we've got quite a few viewers in our chat right here on listening and viewing Talk Back Live. Beth, I've got Beth Griffith Manley, better known as Beth, right from the Motor City, Detroit, with us right here on Talk Back Live. Beth, I wanted to ask you, I thought something was very interesting, you know, going back to your appearance on The Voice, right? You blew everyone away with that, with your take on I'll Put a Spell on You, just blew everyone away. What was interesting to me was that you didn't pick John Legend. You picked Kelly Clarkson. And why was that? Just curious.
Well, because that show, you have to be strategic if you want to stay on there. And I looked at it as a game of chess and not checkers. So if I knew the two people wanted me, one was going to want me, even if, you know, if it's something. And so John turned around first, but Kelly turned around second.
Right.
So if I picked Kelly, John would still want me if something happened. And also, I wanted to have an experience to work with Kelly, because Kelly had come from another show similar to The Voice, which was American Idol. And I wanted to be able to connect with her and learn what I could from her and that time that I had with her about strategically moving on that show. So right. I'm glad that I made that decision. And listen, I've gotten that question many, many times before. They're like, why did you pick Kelly over John? And I was like, it was a strategic move. And I'm grateful that I did it because it worked.
Right. Yeah. It did work for you. It worked very, very well. Absolutely. So you're on the scene, you're touring everywhere. You've toured with the R&B legend, Nita Baker. You've been touring with Kim and Najee. I think you're touring currently now with Najee.
I did Najee the latter part of last year. So I'm not with him now because I'm getting ready to go on tour with Kim again.
You're going back on tour with Kim, who's also a hit singer. He's so smooth. Kim is, his music is so smooth. So tell us about your touring experience. What was it like touring with Anita Baker?
Ooh, I was in a class, a boot camp, the ultimate how to be a Black girl singer on that stage and handle your business. And I didn't even know it, right? Because at the time, I didn't want to be a solo artist. I was just happy doing background. So it was, you know, I'm like, oh my God, I'm singing for Anita. This is fine, right? But there were specific times, and I call them wrinkled in times, where I got a chance to really talk to her and ask her questions about what it was like being in the position that she was in. And she taught me so much, and she schooled me about so much. And I took that information and just locked it away in my heart and in my head. Again, not even thinking I'm gonna go solo, right? I'm just, she telling me stuff, I get to talk to Anita Baker. I'm thinking like that. But something said, remember everything she's telling you. And I have remembered everything that she's telling me, and I apply it with what I do now. It was the ultimate experience because she's such a strong woman. And for her to be as knowledgeable as she is in the business, she was extremely generous. She was extremely, she was just brilliant. And I take that knowledge with me, and I'm able to compare working with a woman versus, because I toured with her for 5 years. And so I've been with Kim nine, almost 10. So I'm able to compare the two, working with a female artist versus working with a male artist. There are some similarities, but there's some differences. And then I can even compare that to working with Najee, because he's a instrumentalist. He doesn't sing. So it's a whole nother vibe.
Right.
Been so blessed that I've been able to work with three different people that give me three different outlooks on how to prepare, how to conduct, how to think, how to focus, how to navigate through what it is that I love to do, which is ultimately perform live for people.
Exactly. Now, you've also, going back to The Voice for just a bit, you did Aretha Franklin's, one of her classics, Until You Come Back to Me.
I did.
And I'm thinking, as far as stepping out, taking a shot, taking a chance, man, you're doing that. And guess what? It was great. The take was great. You did an awesome job with that song. Everybody cannot sing Aretha's songs.
For whatever reason, I have been blessed to be able to cover some iconic artists. And I was just talking about this last night. You know, Aretha Franklin, there's a connection with Aretha Franklin and my dad. My dad was her first touring keyboard player. So for me to sing her music, and I knew that she knew my father. My father used to talk about her all the time. And, you know, they kind of grew up together with the first going out on the road and everything. And so that was bittersweet for me to be able to perform that song, knowing that there was a connection, a direct connection for me. And also the blessing is that I've been able to cover these artists. So again, when I have to sing a song that another iconic artist has done, first of all, I'm shaking in my boots. So let me say that. I'm not even going to act like, you know, oh, I got this. I'm like, Lord, please, am I going to get this? That's my thought, right? That's my honest thought. So with Aretha Franklin, to cover that song and to look at the views on YouTube to be over 1 million views, I was like, what?
Wow.
You know, wow. So crazy. I've covered Whitney Houston and it's been successful for me doing that. I've covered Anita Baker and that did really well on my album. I've covered and then I have another cover for another iconic artist that's coming out in April. So yeah.
Awesome. And speaking of Whitney Houston, you did, which is interesting in itself, you did like a body double for Whitney in the film, the remake of the film Sparkle.
I did. So Sparkle came to Detroit. They did the remake. And then I was cast as her stand-in and her body double. And Whitney Houston is my ultimate favorite artist.
I've heard that.
Like bar none. So that was amazing. And she was the vocalist that I connected with as a little girl wanting to be like. And we have the same birthday, which is August the 9th. So she's like my soul sister and I just love her. So to be able to kind of play her indirectly was just absolutely amazing. And then when I did season 22 of Dancing with the Stars, I was able to sing one of her songs and the couple got a perfect 10. Dancing off the song. So I was just like, oh my God. So when I do a song, it just works. And I'm so grateful. It's not me.
Yeah. Well, you're hot. You're hot. And we're so happy to have you and feature on Talk Back Live. You've worked also with Yolanda Adams, I understand.
I recorded for her. So I've never met her. It was one of those situations where I was working with Michael Powell and she did a Christmas album, What Christmas Means. And I did background for 5 songs and then actually demoed the songs for her and he sent them off. So I was like, oh my God, she's gonna hear my voice. She never called, but she heard me. So, I'm on the album, so I'm excited.
Speaking of Michael Powell, what a giant in the music industry, great writer, arranger, mm-hmm. and to even collaborate with Michael Powell had to have been just a dream come true.
Michael Powell is one of my best friends, honestly. You know, I met him I met him at a studio session, actually. And then I didn't see him for a long time. And then I got a job at one time at a recording studio, just as a receptionist, answering the telephones, hoping to meet a producer. And he came in one day and I was like, do you remember meeting me? And he was like, I do. And we kind of connected, exchanged numbers. And he started putting me on stuff he was working on. And then he's the one that took me to Anita Baker and introduced me to her.
Yeah, he's a giant. I mean, he actually, the songs that he collaborated on with Anita Baker were super, super hit, just gigantic hits. Yeah. And not everyone gets to work with Michael Powell.
No, because he's produced everybody. He's done Gladys Knight. He's done Aretha Franklin. He's done Anita Baker. And then I did a remake of I Just Want to Be Your Girl, which was Chapter 8. That song is 30 plus years, you know, old. And he took me to the studio and produced me. So I'm just like, oh, my God.
And you, let me ask you, did you know that you would want to do music? I had heard somewhere that your dad actually tried to discourage you from going into the industry, but did you just know inside that, hey, I just got to do this?
Yes, both of my parents, they were adamant that I went to college and get my degree and get a job. I worked in corporate America for a minute, you know, and I was just like, ugh, you know, these cubicles are not getting it for me. And I would gig in the bars at night. I still went to college and I still got my degree. And eventually, you know, I got married and my husband was like, you're miserable working. And I'm like, I am. And he was like, okay. So, and just thank God for him. So he let me run around and sing. I'm just joking when I say that, but he let me do my thing until, and it's manifesting now. It takes a lot of work. It's taken a lot of time. And, but I'm thankful for him because my husband saw the passion in me. And he was like, go do your thing, because he knew I wasn't happy working the job, you know?
Right, right, right. You've developed in such an artist. What's coming up next?
What's coming up next? March 22nd, my second single, because Got Next was the first single from the album that we just released last year to just put something out. But my second single from the album, my second album will be out. And it's called Let Me Be. That'll be out March 22nd. I'm so excited about that. March 30th, I hit the road with Kim and Babyface for the Full Circle Tour. So we're doing a 26 city tour. I'll be doing that. April 15th, I mentioned a little bit earlier, I have a collaboration with a smooth jazz artist. He's incredible. He happens to be Najee's music director. His name is Blair Bryant. And we did a remake of the legendary Sade, Kiss of Life.
Wow.
So that'll be out April 15th, and that'll be on his album. And I'm just a featured artist on his album.
So you got the tour coming up with Kim, and yep. When does that start again?
March 30th.
March 30th.
Yep. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So be sure to catch her on her tour with Kim, and catch her on the world tour. Be sure to look out for her. She's everywhere. Check her out on YouTube. You can pick up her music on iTunes, Apple Music, everywhere music can be found. Make sure you catch her. What a joy it was to have you on Talk Back Live. You can come back anytime you like, share new stuff, new songs, new music, because you are simply magnificent. I like your style. I like everything about you. Oh, I've been checking you out, and you're an angel, and you're going to go far. So we look forward to hearing more about Beth. That's it. Well, thank you for tuning in to Talk Back Live. Thank you for being with us. We just had a ton of shout outs here on today's show. We want to thank you for tuning in to Talk Back. Don't forget, catch us in about 2 weeks. We'll have another special guest for you. Be sure to go to our YouTube page, subscribe and like our page. Be sure and share today's show with everyone. And thank you for tuning in. Also, be sure, if you're an actor, actress, we've got a major production coming up here in the city of Cleveland called Sugar the Stage Play. Be sure and give us a call, 216-394-8926. That's 216-394-8926. We will start having auditions actually March the 5th. That's next Saturday at 1:00 p.m. right here in the city of Cleveland. So contact us if you have some interest in participating in this exciting production. I want to thank my producer, Keith Hayes, all the way from Massachusetts. Thank you, sir. Great show today. Thank everyone for tuning in. Thank you, Beth. And I also want to thank your PR guy, Rod Leffert. He reached out to us. And thank you so much for reaching out to Talk Back Live. He's an awesome guy, and he's doing a great job. He's got you everywhere. I see you everywhere. And certainly hope you enjoyed the show as much as we did, Beth.
Thank you. Have a
great weekend, and keep doing it, girl. You're doing it.
Thanks
so much.
Okay, bye.
Until next time, America.
Hope you enjoyed the show today. Be sure and go to our Facebook page, Talk Back, a thought-provoking talk format. That's Talk Back, a thought-provoking talk format. Leave us a review. Let us know what you think of Talk Back. It can only make us better. Be sure to check us out on Spotify. Also, Twitter, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, wherever podcasts are heard. Be sure to check us out on YouTube. Again, thank you for listening. Until next time, America.
You have been listening to Talk Back with My Grandma on Spotify. Be sure and catch her every weekend. Oh, and by the way, my name is Kari. Bye.